Earlier ago, I don't think it makes sense. Earlier, we're going to do an ordination service tonight. Now, if you've never been to an ordination service, you know what that is it's our church saying we put basically our stamp of approval on the ministry of Eric. A lot of times what will happen, you know, someone could just say, hey, I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. And they can go out there and tell people, I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. And then when you kind of delve into it, you find they have no understanding of who Jesus is. You know, they have no real call upon their life. They just thought it'd be neat to be a pastor. And so ordination is when a church says, we have seen evidence of a call to the ministry inside someone's life. And as a church, we want to be that kind of body that gives authority to Eric to go out and do ministry here and Waller and wherever he goes. So that's what an ordination service is. If you have been ordained before, if you're a deacon, if you're have been in ministry and had been ordained, at 5 o'clock we're having what's called an ordination council. That's where other ordained men would come and would ask Eric questions about theology, about his past, things like that, to kind of, you know, delve in. And then at 6 o'clock, that's when it's open to everybody. We all come and we'll have a report from that ordination council, just basically saying, you know, we see evidence inside Eric. Now, we're in a neat position. We've been serving right alongside Eric, hearing him preach, hearing him work with the kids for 2 years, so I don't think there'll be a problem in that time, but that group will come in, and then the service itself will be Eric sharing his testimony. And then we'll ask ordained men once again to come down at the end of the service. And basically Eric will sit here and the men will come up and they'll just lay hands on him and pray over him. And kind of, it takes a little bit of time, but it's a real neat thing. It's really neat for Eric to see our church support him. So that's at 6 o'clock is when that is. And then right after, Miss Donna's going to have some snacks back in the back for us. Just come tonight and just encourage Eric. Next thing I wanted to just make sure, before I forget, next week we're doing our Educator Sunday. So this week, invite some educators. You know some teachers? Invite them next week. We've got Kevin Moran, who's the superintendent of the school system, coming to kind of give a challenge and a charge to the teachers and to our church. And then we're going to have that lunch afterwards. So if you could please bring enough food for your family and another family. We want to make sure that if we have guests that day, teachers coming in, we don't want to say, okay, here's your little scoop of green beans. You know, we want to be able to fill their plate up. So that's all next week. Okay, let's jump into our sermon today. What we've been talking about are God questions. Questions that we have and that other people we know have about God. And so many times we're too scared in a church to even ask the questions. What will people think of me? Do other people think like I think? And so we've kind of had these next 3 weeks. This is week number 3. We've got 3 more weeks where we're just opening it up and we're discussing some hard questions. First week we ask, is there a God? You know, is there really a God? That's a good God question. And we talk, you know, logically as we could, looking through Scripture and saying, hey, if there has to be something eternal, right? Something can't come from nothing. So we know there's something with God characteristics out there because there are things here, and we can't have things if all there was nothing. And then we talked about the design of this universe, the design of us. That's when we used that Dr. Pepper and kind of said, you know, if this was designed, how much more so are we designed and the systems of this world designed? And so we talked about that first week. Last week we talked about, are the Scriptures true? Can you trust the Scriptures? And what we came up with last week is, the Scriptures were written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. So that we know that eyewitnesses saw this, and when they wrote it down, there were other people out there that saw it that could have said, no, that didn't happen. And they went out and told other people, and we said, you know, well, what if, because we get this one a lot, what if, you know, some monk somewhere changed it all? You know, Jesus really existed. Jesus really said some of the things, but there's other stuff in here that just some really crazy monks went out, and we talked about how impossible that was because of all the witnesses in their lifetime. By the time all the witnesses would have passed away and the people they had told had passed away, where you could get in there and to change stuff, by that time there were thousands of copies of Scriptures, where these monks would have had to go to thousands of different places, different countries, different languages to change those things. It would have been an impossible thing. So we know from the eyewitnesses and the fact that it would have been impossible because of the biblical record we have of all the different copies of early manuscripts to change it. And so we know that we can trust the Bible. So today we get into our next question, and that question is, do all roads lead to heaven? Do all roads lead to heaven? Now, this is a question about, well, you know, as a Christian, we live in a very tolerant society. Have y'all heard that word before? Tolerant. What tolerant means is that you can believe what you believe, but you should let other people believe what other people want to believe, and you shouldn't say anything about what other people believe. You need to be tolerant. Now, it's an interesting word, and it's an interesting supposition to say that because we live in a tolerant society, we should accept what other religions say, and we need to get to the point, actually, where we understand that all religions are leading to the same place. All religions are leading to worshiping God. All religions are leading, you know, to heaven. Why are you trying to say, Christian, that yours is the only way? How intolerant of you to say that. And so we get this thought of all roads lead to heaven. All religions lead to heaven. It has come into the church. Robert Jeffries, pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, just got through writing a book called All Roads Lead to Heaven. Because he said it. He said, I think this is the number one problem facing the church today. This inclusive, all roads lead to heaven mentality has seeped into the church. It has seeped so deeply into the church that in 2009, there was a survey of 35,000 evangelical Christians. And one of the questions was, are there other ways to get to heaven? 60% of the people said there might be other ways to get to heaven. I want you to hear that again. 60% of evangelical Christians, 35,000 that were in this study said there, and they didn't say there was, they said there might be another way to heaven. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, I believe what I believe, but I'm not going to be a bigot. I'm not going to be intolerant. I'm going to accept the fact that other people have other beliefs, and maybe some of their beliefs get them to heaven too. But I believe what I believe. Now, there's a problem with that, isn't there? There's a big, huge problem with this thought. And listen, if we're going to be completely honest, I feel it, right? Do you feel it? Do you feel that kind of in you when you kind of go, you mean that this real nice Muslim over here, that he's not going to go to heaven? Or here's this real nice Hindu person? Or here, and there's something, it's because we love people and we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable, that we kind of get this shell inside of us of, you know, I believe what I believe, but you believe what you want to believe. And the reason I say I know it's happening in us is because we don't have a desire to go and tell them the truth. If we really believed that ours was the only way, you know, surely we would want to go out and tell people, hey, your way's wrong, let me help you out here. But we don't. I think it's seeped into me some, and maybe it's seeped into you. We're going to look at three things real quick, three problems with this idea of all roads lead to heaven. This is a point 1A, because we got to hit it first before I get into the rest of it, is we've got to be okay with the word intolerant. Are you guys okay with the word intolerant? Let me give you the Webster definition of intolerant, and then I'm going to tell you how people have messed it up. Intolerance, unwillingness to accept views or beliefs or behavior that differ from one's own. Christians, are you unwilling to accept views and beliefs and behavior different than that's in Christianity? Now, that's really, we don't mind that. It's the synonyms that bother us. Bigotry. Small-mindedness. Narrow-mindedness. they've taken that word intolerant and they've twisted it. And they've said this, that if you're an intolerant person, you're a bigot and you're small-minded. And we don't want to be bigots and we don't want to be small-minded. But that's not what the word means. The word means that there is an absolute truth and we're going to stand up for an absolute truth. Now, are there other places in your life where intolerance is okay? What about if you were at your house and someone broke into your house with a gun and said, give me all your stuff, and you picked up the phone, dialed 911 somehow or another, and the police came, and here's the guy with the gun saying, give me all your stuff, and here's you over here going, policeman, arrest this man, and the policeman says, why do you think, Mr. Guy with the gun, that you need all their stuff? And he goes, well, yeah, in my personal view, your stuff is my stuff. I should be able to take it. And the policeman would look at you and go, give him your stuff, right? Now, is that policeman intolerant, right? Obviously, he wouldn't do that. You know, he would say, no, here's the law. Here's the absolute truth. You cannot break into someone's house and take their stuff. There's a truth, and just because I support that truth doesn't make me a bigot. It doesn't. We don't want our policemen to be tolerant of every thought out there. We don't want our teachers that way, right? We don't want our kids sitting in class and taking a test and just writing down whatever comes to their mind. When the teacher says, no, that's not the answer, you kind of go, well, that's my belief. You know, how small-minded of that teacher to count off. That teacher's intolerant. We shouldn't have an Educator Sunday. All those intolerant teachers that would be in here. You see, we don't mind intolerance when we know there's an absolute truth. When there's a law, when there's some kind of... Listen, if I had a vat of acid up here, okay? And for some reason I was going to stick my hand into the vat of acid. Don't ask me why I'm going to do that. But I had a friend up here, and that friend was saying, look, to stick your hand in a vat of acid, all you got to do is go real quick. You'll be fine. Just do it real quick. Another friend might say, oh, no, no, it's not the quickness of it. You need to put on some little rubber glove, you know, some little thing like you get out of the little you know, box of gloves that you wear when you wash dishes. Just stick it in there with that. You'll be fine. And then you would walk up to me and go, no. You know, here's one of these laboratory, big, thick rubber. If you're going to stick, I don't know why, Blake, you're sticking your hand in there. You know, but you need this. It's not about the quickness, not just about covering. You need something that can hold up to that acid. Do I want you to be tolerant at that point? Do I want you to go, but the guy that's saying quick, he might be right. Yeah, there's lots of ways to stick your hand in acid. Yeah, the guy that's got the little flimsy glove, he might be right too. I don't know. I know that my glove works for me. But I want to be tolerant of everybody. I don't want to be a friend bigot here and make you think that your friend... No, there's an absolute truth. If you're going to stick your hand in acid, you need to have something thick covering it that's going to protect you. And I want you to be very intolerant when you're telling me that. I want you to say, here is the truth, and I'm not going to listen to any other views. I'm going to tell you the truth because I care about you. We've got to get over this thought of intolerance is bad. Intolerance is bad in some iffy kind of situations, but when there is a truth, truth brings on intolerance. There can't be a real truth if you're going to just say, but anyway, it's going to work. Here's three problems with saying all roads lead to heaven. First problem with saying all roads lead to heaven is Jesus, right? I mean, it's the very first problem with all roads lead to heaven. Let's read some of the scriptures. You don't have to turn there this morning for this because I'm going to read them real fast. One of them is found in John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If all roads lead to heaven, Jesus is a crazy man. Well, maybe you're misinterpreting that, Blake. Let's look at another one. We come down. Here's one that's from Matthew 7, Oh, here's one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then here's one where Jesus said this. Enter through the narrow gate. This is Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that lead to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus said, there's a wide gate, yeah, where you can accept everything, but that's leading to destruction. He said, what we believe is a narrow gate. His disciples said this, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which he must be saved. Acts 4:12. Is there any wiggle room in that? There's no wiggle room. Let me read it again. Salvation is found in no one else. In case you didn't hear me, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We believe in a very exclusive way to get to heaven, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, here's the problem with all roads lead to heaven. You can't say that Jesus can fit in with all the other religions because Jesus has said, I'm the only way, and he's not the only one. A Buddhist isn't going to like this. They believe their religion is very exclusive. A Hindu person, Hindu people believe that if you are really, really good at what you believe, then you at some point will enter into the bottom of the caste system, and then through incarnation over 600,000 lives, you might make it up to the top. So maybe they're a little bit more inclusive. Muslims, they're exclusive. Most world religions that we look at have that same problem. Instead, we're thinking maybe some way we can marry them all. Let me read something that's really scary to you. This is a chaplain at a major college. And he got up and he did this address on the first day. He said this. He said, as a Christian pluralist. Now those two words don't go together. A pluralist is someone that believes that all roads lead to heaven. All religions are right. And he said this, he gave it a name. He said, I'm a Christian pluralist. I personally affirm Jesus as my way, as my Lord and Savior. He just said he's Lord. Did y'all catch that? Does he know what the word Lord means? You know, Lord means that I am going to put myself under Jesus and what Jesus says I'm going to do. But watch this. In the same breath, he says, I personally affirm Jesus as my way, as my Lord and Savior, but I also believe that the exclusivist claim is wrong. I have no doubt that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, at least figuratively speaking, but I also believe that Moses and Muhammad and Krishna and Buddha and Socrates do too, among others. They're all at the top of the metamorphical spiritual mountain. They are all the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through a multitude of them, or by having walked in many footsteps, or by being in a large presence, whether one fully realizes it or not. I don't even know what he means there at the end. But here's what I'm going to say. That's where this is going. You might kind of have in your heart, you know, maybe all ways lead to heaven. But when you speak it, think about what that sounds like. I am a Christian pluralist. I believe that Jesus is the way. But I'm going to ignore all the places that he says I am the only way. You see, you can't put them together. There's a religion called the Baha'i faith. They take Hindu, Buddhist, Jewish, and Christian, and they smush them all together. And they said that this one guy named Baha'u, he was a prophet for the Baha'i faith. At some point, he went back to all the original scriptures of all these different things and said, hey, they all fit together. They all fit together. When Lee Strobel interviewed him, Lee said, how can you say they all fit together? Jesus claims to be the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How can he just be one of many? And this is what he said. He said, oh, but in the original manuscripts. See, what did he do? He went back to what we talked about last week. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say crazy monks, put the rest of this stuff in here, and I'm only going to believe the scriptures that I want to believe. See, the wall that he's hitting, the problem that he's hitting with all roads lead to heaven is Jesus and the leaders of all the other faith. You can't push them together unless you go in and you chop it up and you throw out what you don't want and just keep what you do. If you're a Christian, you can't be a Christian pluralist. Jesus won't allow it. Second problem that we have with all roads lead to heaven is this word all. All. Now, how many religions are there in the world today? Does anybody know how many religions there are in the world? Who thinks there's over 100 religions in the world? Who thinks there's over 200? Who thinks there's over 1,000? Who thinks there's over 3,000? Who thinks there's 4,207 presently? Wow! Y'all did the same research I did. That's incredible. 4,207 recognized religions in the world. And you just said all religions lead to heaven. Listen, does that mean that we could get up today and start our own religion right now? Could we say we are the religion of this leaf? And to worship the leaf, we all have to carry leaves around and place them on top of our head like this, and that's our religion. We could do that, right? Now, if all roads lead to heaven, that religion I just made up on the spot right now is packed in with that, right? You could say whatever you want to. All religions, really? All religions lead to heaven? You know, now people might say, oh, no. We're not talking about the kooky religions. That's awful intolerant, but okay, we'll go with it. We're going to talk about the top 10 religions in the world. The top 10, they all point to God, right? Let me tell you, number 10 on the list is the Juche faith. Juche. How many of y'all have ever heard Juche? Isn't that weird? I think it was almost a billion people, and I think it was seven. Oh, no, I'm sorry, no, way too many. I have to remember right there. 20 million. 20 million people in the world practice the Juche faith. The reason you haven't heard of it is because it is the official religion of North Korea. He kicked out all other religions. Not the one right now, but like his great-grandfather, 1950s. Kicked them all out, said everybody in North Korea must practice the Juche faith. And so now, if you live in North Korea, this is where the 10 or 12 million or whatever it is, number that goes with this is, they're all North Koreans because they have to practice his faith. Listen, this faith, they don't really believe in God. The ruler of the country is God. They don't believe in an afterlife. Basically, they're a communist socialist religion, and they're just talking about how to help each other or give so that everybody can be better right here. No afterlife whatsoever in the Juche faith. Number seven are primal religions. These are kind of grouped together of all the African religions, the South American, in the jungle kind of religion, Native American kind of religion. All these religions would have been, and a lot of them are still practiced. Your problem here is, A, it's polytheistic. They believe in many, many gods. And it's sacrificial driven. Sometimes sacrificing children. Sometimes cannibalism is part of their rituals. So when we say all roads lead to heaven, are we talking about the one that doesn't believe in any God whatsoever? Does that one lead to heaven? Are we talking about the one that accepts, children's sacrifices and cannibalism? Are those, if we're going with the top 10, those roads lead to heaven too. Maybe we should focus in. Maybe we should just go with the top four. The top four ways. And when you get to the top four ways, you run into problem number three. Is what heaven are we talking about? What heaven are we talking about? If we say all religions lead to heaven, what heaven are we talking about? Let's start with the top four religions. Number four religion is Hinduism. There are 1 billion people in the world practicing Hinduism. It was founded around somewhere between 1800 to 1000 BC. Their view is pantheism. Pantheism means everything is God. God is not a personal God. God is just in everything. It's a very impersonal God, pantheism. If you know anything about Hindu, the way Hinduism works is there is a reincarnation so that when you die, you get reincarnated. You can come back as something more than what you were or something less, depending on what you did while you were a Hindu and living in this life. And then as you progress, at some point you become a human, which is kind of one of the top levels of reincarnation. And then you can even become a god. Yeah, that's the next level. But the final level of reincarnation is when you basically explode out and become nothing and connect with the impersonal God and become just part of godness, which is everything. That's their heaven. Stop existing, explode out. That's Hindus' heaven. Number three belief system in the world is actually no belief, agnostic, atheist. 1.1 billion people in the world would describe themselves as non-religious, agnostic, atheist. So they don't even believe in God. So number four believes heaven is about exploding out. Number three believes that there's no God, no heaven, you just go to sleep. So you just go to sleep. Number two is Islam. Islam has 1.6 billion people. Founded by Muhammad, their view of God is monotheistic, like ours. They believe in one God. They believe the way to get to God is the five pillars of Islam, which is reciting the Shahad, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet, praying five times a day towards Mecca, giving to the poor, fasting during Ramadan, and taking a pilgrimage to Mecca. That's how you get to heaven. And this is interesting. Their heaven, I guess you could say, is similar in thought to what we believe is heaven. But watch, here's what their scripture says about their heaven. From the Quran, the description of paradise. That's what they call heaven, paradise. Therein are bashful virgins, whom neither man nor jinni will have touched before. Virgins are fair as coral and rubies. Then there shall be jeweled couches face to face, and they shall wait on the immortal use of bowls and ewers and cups and bread. They'll have fruit, they'll have nuts. You know, this is what Muhammad pictured heaven like, that there would be lots and lots of virgins and lots of food. Now, I can't find that in the Bible. I guess there's food. But this whole thought that heaven is a place where I have unlimited amounts of virgins? You know, first, what about the women? You know, what do the women get in heaven? You know, they're not even mentioned, but that's 1.1 billion people, that's their picture of heaven. 1.1, it's fastest growing religion in the world. Fastest growing. And then we have Christians. You know, Christianity is the largest religion in the world. If you take all the different people that claim to be Christians now, you know, some of them I would probably scoot out, but we're just going to say if they believe that they're Christian, 2.2 billion people. Founder was Jesus Christ. View is monotheistic. We believe the way to get to God is not following the five pillars, but to have the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Through the grace of God, pay for the price for our sins. And our view of afterlife is heaven. Now, what is heaven? Heaven, it says in the book of Revelation 21:4, says, in heaven he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. A very personal God. Who wipes your tears? Your mom? Maybe your spouse? And the description of God is in the heaven that the Christianity talks about is a personal God wiping away the tears. All roads lead to heaven. Which heaven? The heaven we explode out? The heaven where we just go to sleep at the end of our life? The heaven where there's virgins and nuts and fruits and couches? Or the heaven where there's a personal God and we'll have a personal relationship with him forever. You see, we could say that all roads lead to heaven, that God is this mountain and that each religion is a pathway up the mountain, but the problem is all the mountains are different. It's not the same mountain. And so if you get this idea of maybe there's another way up the mountain, here's the question you need to ask someone that asks you like that, is say, what is heaven like in those other religions? Because I'm going to guess that most people don't know it. Most people, you know, they're going to tell you, oh, you're so chauvinistic and you're so bigoted thinking your way is the only way to heaven. I think all religions lead to heaven. And you're going to look at them and go, are you a part of that one that thinks you're just going to explode out into everything in heaven? They'll go, what? You know, are you the one that thinks you just go to sleep and never wake up? Is that your heaven? Are you the one that thinks that, you know, there's going to be all this crazy stuff in heaven? Throw in Mormonism, you know. Are you the one that thinks heaven is where you're going to get to be a god over your own planet? You know, when you start thinking through this idea that all roads lead to heaven, what heaven is it leading to? Listen, I want you to hear today, every religion claims to be the way to God. But every religion has a different roadmap, and almost all of the afterlives are different. And so when someone says to you, all roads lead to heaven, it sounds good. It feels good. But there has to be an absolute truth. And I'm not even fighting right this second to tell you our way's the right way. I think it is. But even if you don't believe our way is the right way, you've got to say one of these ways is the right way. You can't say all of them is, because they're all leading somewhere else. You've got to be intolerant. You've got to say that I know there's a God, that I know the Bible is true, and therefore, you know, I'm not a bigot. I'm someone that loves people desperately, and I don't want them to stick their hand down in a vat of acid. And so I'm going to be as intolerant as I can to say, here's the truth about a personal God that has sent his Son Jesus Christ to be a substitution for your sin, so that you can have a relationship with him forever. All roads don't lead to heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you this morning for your story in the Bible. God, from cover to cover, it tells about a God that cares about us. God, a God that is personal. God, an exclusive way, but God that's open to everyone. And God, help us to be people who care. Care about others, care about other religions, care about, but not in saying that, oh, maybe your way's right, but God, and letting them know as best we can that the right way is through you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.